Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Roundtable Sports Podcast. I am your host, John Newman, and I don't have anybody with me today. We are going to be talking about UFC Fight Night 185, aka UFC Vegas 19, and we're going to do it from bottom to top, starting with the prelims, working our way to the main card. Of course, everybody saw the extraordinary uppercut, the deadly looking uppercut that Derek Lewis threw, and we'll get into that later. But I wanted to start with Sergey Spivak, who got a second round TKO against Jared Vendera. I found out during that event that Sergey Spivak's only 26 years old. He's now 12-2 in his 14 pro fights. So a heavyweight to look for there in Sergey Spivak. Ayman Zahabi, Firas Zahabi's younger brother, won with a mid-round 1 TKO versus Draco Rodriguez. Of course, Firas Zahabi is a legendary trainer, trains George St. Pierre, Rory McDonald, and Kenny Florian up at TriStar Gym in Canada. So I think it's just awesome to see somebody who's been around the sport, a name that's we've heard for a long time, get their family involved in the sport. And Ayman Zahabi looked a little stiff at first, but then he came out and he let the hands fly, and that was all she wrote for Draco Rodriguez. Casey O'Neill, a new discovery for me and a lot of fans, showed off her ability to eat some shots against Shanna Dobson on the prelims there. She avoided more than she ate, I would say. Her head movement seemed a little frantic at certain points, but she was still avoiding those punches, which is all that matters. That's just something to look at in that department there. Get a little bit more patient with the head movement, because you don't want to be moving into someone's danger zone and into somebody's wheelhouse there, to use a baseball term. But other than that, she didn't even have to threaten with submission attempts to get a finish, which is great. So good job there by Casey O'Neill. I'll be looking to see what she's up to next. Moving along on the prelims, we had Julian Juicy J. Erosa, able to get a first round finish after dropping Nate Landwehr with a flying knee. Landwehr protested it, but I'd say it was a pretty good stoppage, having looked at how defenseless against the cage Nate was. But in the moment, I kind of thought, I kind of took Nate's side a little bit there. But now, having let the dust settle a little bit, I see it as, you know, hands out, flailed out, up against the cage, in that position. Julian Erosa was going to come in there and land a flurry of more punches, but I get what he was saying about how, well, if you stop the fight, then I dropped him with the right hook. Doesn't that constitute doing the same thing? Not necessarily. Different positions in the cage, different ways you can defend yourself when you're in the middle versus when you're up against the cage. And we've seen flying knees end with flurries that go on for too long several times in the past. So I'm going to go ahead and I will say good stoppage. Nonetheless, you don't cuss out the referee. Nate Landwehr, you got to learn. You can't just get up and get in the referee's face. That's not cool. But once again, I feel for him because, you know, I haven't done it. I haven't done this sport, you know, so I can't say that I know the emotions that these guys are going through while they're in there, but it's never a good look to cuss out anybody who's an official in any sport. So good job there by Julian Erosa. That's back-to-back wins in the octagon for Julian Erosa. He was cut by the UFC at one point. So nice to see Erosa kind of put back-to-back performances together to keep himself relevant in the game. John Castaneda was able to get a TKO over the gatekeeper that is Eddie Wineland. And Castaneda will be in the good graces of the promotion, taking out one of their gatekeepers and improving his record now to 1-1 in the UFC. Nickname, Sexy Mexi, whatever. Moving on. Jared Flash Gordon improves to 5-3 with the promotion and now has, back-to-back wins with a unanimous decision over Danny Chavez. And he looked phenomenal. He looked to dominate, Danny Chavez there in that bout. And that's exactly what he did. For the main card, it started off with some fireworks. Performance of the night winner and Tom Aspinall took on Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky. And, you know, Aspinall looked very comfortable in all situations versus the Pitbull. He was standing with him. He was moving with him. And he got a power double that just... It looked like it was going to break the cage almost, how powerful this takedown was, and had the smarts to quickly jump the back and get the rear naked choke locked up. And Arlovsky gave him a quick tap, and he's now 3-0 with the promotion, 2 knockouts, and this 1 sub, so 3 finishes and the same amount of fights for the UFC. And that's a guy who's coming over from Cage Warriors. Shout out to Ross Houston, my brother from across the pond over in Scotland. He drew my interest to the Cage Warriors promotion. He's now fighting Bellator. He was the, guy that you guys called a can that made it the distance with MVP. Anyways, we got, Phil Hawes fighting out in North Bergen, New Jersey. Florida's Hard Knocks 365 gym, is where he's training, but he was announced out of North Bergen, and if I would have known that was the case, I probably would have not picked Nasruddin Imavov to beat him last night. I kind of went with the feel that some guys had that I was watching a YouTube video of them, and it made sense as to why they were picking Imavov. But it was a fairly even matchup, but I agree, you know, Hawes... Obviously, he won the decision, and now he's 10-2 as a professional with a 2-0 record in the UFC. Imavov is not going to fall off the face of the earth or anything like that. Chris Daukaus improved to 3-0 in the UFC and beat the gatekeeper of gatekeepers in Alexei Oleinik by a brutal standing TKO off the overhand right. He was out on his feet. And that was all she wrote. I see Tom Aspinall and Chris Daukaus being the fight the fans want, and, you know, feasible for Dana White to make that fight happen. For the fans, for the fans, I think, you know, you just saw Tom Aspinall get a KO. You just saw Chris Daukaus go out there and get that brutal standing teak. You're gonna want to see them two fight. Or I said the KO. Aspinall got the sub. Sorry guys. But yeah, I think our community on MMA Twitter, we need to be pushing and promoting for that fight to happen, because I want to see Daukaus and Aspinall go at it. Winner, Derek Minner, who trains with the guys out of Glory MMA and Fitness right down the street from where I stay. He has fought 36 times in his professional career. He's only been knocked out or TKO'd twice. And he is now 2-1 in the UFC after beating Charles Rosa. And he was a big time underdog, I believe, coming into this fight. Now, of course, James Krause, this Glory MMA guys, when he's in Mission Control, over there in the corner, he is going to make sure that his fighters can hear him clearly and do what they need to do. And, Minner put on a dominant performance. To be honest with you, this one went even smoother than, I know he didn't get a finish like Julian Marquez, but this one kind of went even smoother. For the guys at Glory MMA and Fitness, that are coached by James Krause. And, yeah. The next one was kind of controversial. Our co-main event, Yana Kunitskaya, earned a unanimous decision victory over Ketlin Vieira. Yana worked off of her back for much of the fight, but delivered a great deal of damage that bloodied Ketlin Vieira to the point that the judges gave Kunitskaya the decision. The Russian media is clamoring for Yana to get another shot at the belt. However, MMA World, our girl Aspen Ladd has been, on the sidelines for a long time, and she has beaten this chick, so let's let Aspen Ladd, get back in there before we give another title shot. Now, granted, Kunitskaya fought Cyborg several years ago. That was her last championship match. But, you know, I think Aspen Ladd and her return, we need to see something first, but she should have dibs over a fighter like, Kunitskaya that she's already beat. And as a matter of fact, I bet you she'd run that fight back. She wasn't looking, Yana Kunitskaya was not looking good at certain points, but however, she ended the fight on top, and that counts for something, especially whenever you leave your opponent with a bloody face. So, I'm not gonna disagree with the decision on that at all. And for the main event, we had one of, if not the coldest uppercut KOs in the history of this sport. Houston's finest, Derek Lewis. He about killed a man doing what they both signed up for last night. He spent much of that first round moving in and out, not throwing very often, and trying to pinpoint exactly where in the cage Curtis Blaydes was most comfortable with the takedown. And all of that patience came to great avail when he landed a dome-rocking uppercut, and he followed it up with a couple more on the way down until Herb Dean jumped in and stopped the action. The performance of the night bonuses went to Derek Lewis for that knockout, Ayman Zahabi for, you know, knocking the ring rust off, Tom Aspinall for what he did with that power takedown and quickly shifted it to the rear naked choke, and Chris Daukaus for, I guess, you know, improving to 3-0 and beating a gatekeeper like Alexei Olenek in the fashion that he beat Alexei Olenek in, it's tremendous. So, yeah, it was another great fight night card that, you know, some people would say, oh, I'm taking the night off or I'm not watching or whatever. I don't care. If there's fights on, I'm always gonna watch. So, I think there's that's much of MMA Twitter in the world that, we try to build with our networking on there and what we do on there. That's at Talk More Sports is my Twitter account if you are finding me for the first time via the podcast, which has been happening a little bit more frequently lately. Thank you guys for staying with us after the commercial break. We've got just a little bit more to talk about here. I wanted to talk about the weight cutting issues and then get into next week's fight night event with Rozenstruik and Gagne. In the main event, of course, those two Muay Thai heavyweights. Wow, that's going to be a clash. Two guys that really, really are just Muay Thai executioners with their size and their strength and their ability to land from range and distance with some kicks and get in close and use the clinch and use the dirty boxing. It's going to be a fun fight to watch in that main event. The co-main event between Nikita Krylov and Magomed Ankalaev. We got the third billing on there is Montana De La Rosa versus Myra Bueno Silva. We got Pedro Munhoz versus Jimmy Rivera. Angie Overkill Hill taking on Ashley Yoder. Alex Caceres taking on Kevin Kroom, who I believe is one of our Midwest guys. I think he's a Nebraska native or something along those lines. So I, we'll have a place soft spot for him and what he does and where he's from and what he trains in and how he's built his career. That's where some of my family comes from. So there is always that rooting interest regardless. Alexander Hernandez taking on Thiago Moises. Hernandez, obviously early on last year, was knocked out by Drew Dober. Came back, got a finish in December. He will be taking on Moises, like I said. Randy Brown taking on Alex. I believe that's the Brazilian Cowboy Oliveira. Alexis Davis, Sabina Mazzo, William Knight versus Alonzo Menafield, Rayoni Barcelos versus Marcelo Rojo, Vince Cachero versus Ronnie Lawrence, Dustin Jacoby versus Maxim Grishin. And this name game actually was a lot easier to figure out than last week's. I've seen a lot of these people fight. Now, I don't have the research done up on the last three for everybody quite yet. But that's John Anik's job. That's not John Newman from Roundtable Sports' job. My job is just to try to keep you guys entertained in the off days. That's what I want to do. I want to build this network, keep the fans strong, keep things funny on MMA Twitter, because you guys started so much fucking drama last year. I didn't even know where the fuck my head was at. Sorry for the fucking language, people. But this is my podcast, and that's how I'm going to use the last few minutes of this rant. Also, just make weight, you know? Just make weight. It's not that hard of an ask. You want your full purse. Obviously, you want to make money if you're going in there and taking shots. You want to make your money. Make weight. Thank you guys for listening. This is from John from @TalkMoreSports on Twitter.